Joining in the studio now is Kurt Blennick, and he is with FACE, that is the Florence Arts and Cultural, Arts, Cultural, and Entertainment.
That is correct, George. Good morning. Great to be with you.
I'm working on that. It's new because it used to be Friends of the Florence Event Center.
Yes, absolutely. The board did rebrand during the pandemic, and it has caused a little bit of confusion. And Florence Arts, Culture, and Entertainment, that's correct. But our mission stays the same. We just changed the name with the state, so we continue to enthusiastically support the Florence Event Center with events, the proceeds from which are plowed back into the Event Center, pursuant to the director's capital plan. And as you might remember, we also provide performance grants to other local nonprofits, such as Crow and Last Resort Players, and even to the school district, so that the bands can come and have some of those costs offset for renting the facility.
That's pretty cool. Now, coming up on July 15th, which I'm going to be in the audience for this, because I've been listening to Salgado's music and just really digging it. I mean, I know that's an old term. It's an old
digging it works
term,
for me.
Man. But this sounds like it's going to be a great concert. Tell me a little bit about Curtis and what the expectation is coming up.
Yes, certainly. I'll first give a nod out to Rachel Pearson and the board for FACE. I mean, they had this idea a couple of months ago to start doing some kind of one-offs, if you want to call it that way, by bringing in some people to perform outside of the Winter Music Festival, for example. And we're happy to say that Curtis Salgado is the first one, July 15th, 7:30 p.m. And, of course, we all know and love Curtis as a Eugene guy, but now based out of Portland, and he hasn't been here since 2016. He is going to be playing quite a bit off of one of his latest CDs called Damage Control, which I think most of which he has written himself. And he has a strong following. You're an example of that here in Oregon. And so for the low, low price of $35, that's the starting price for tickets, 7:30 on the 15th. You can enjoy and join the audience at the Florence Event Center for what promises to be a really fine show of blues. I mean, Curtis is well known as a harp player or harps, you know, harmonica player, call it what you will. And he has a great band. He's bringing his own sound guy, and they're going to raise the roof, George. They really are.
I certainly believe that. And of course, if people aren't sure if they want to go see this, all they got to do is do a YouTube or ask Alexa to play one of his songs, and I think they will be hooked.
They'll be hooked, you know, and this is a fellow who has not let any grass grow under his feet. For example, just this year, he has won the Soul Blues Male Artist from the Blues Foundation. That's an award that they give out annually, among some others. And, you know, this is a guy who's not sitting still. He's still being very creative and finding that deep well within himself to bring forth his music to share with others and to move people.
And again, that's coming up a week from this Friday.
That's correct.
Yeah, wow, it's
on the doorstep.
Yes, it is. So if you want to get tickets, I'm sure there's some good seats still available.
There are good seats available. So don't hesitate, though. Get over there, either online at eventcenter.org. Call the event center at 541-997-1994 or swing by the box office at 715 Quince Street.
All right, we made another announcement last week regarding the Winter Music Festival. Now, am I wrong? Is this a little earlier than normal?
You know, George, I'm going to refresh your memory. It is compared to this past cycle because of the pandemic. We got started late last year, but actually in 2020 we were on the same schedule.
Really?
And we had a really good year that year because we were able to hire the bands and get the word out. And you might say, well, what are we doing talking about winter in the middle of summer? Well, it does give people a chance to plan. Yep. For that beautiful trip to the coast in January of what will now be 2023, and go ahead and get the tickets purchased. You'll forget that money has even left your bank account, and it also gives us a chance then to turn our attention to going into the community and trying to raise some of the additional money that we need from our beautiful sponsors and the hoteliers, for example, so that we can put together the best package available. Happy to say that the bands have been hired, the contracts are signed, and we are, George, going back to a three-day festival in 2023, and we've expanded to 12 bands. So there's going to be a lot of really good music, a lot of good activities.
Well, and like you said, if you buy your tickets early, it's almost like you're going to a free concert when January comes around.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's kind of a cool thing. Get them now and get them. So who are some of the folks? I know we talked a little bit about it in one of the news stories, but who are some of the folks that are coming out?
The big news for Saturday night's headliner is the powerhouse bluegrass act out of primarily Indiana and Nashville, Michael Cleveland and Flamekeeper. If you don't know about Michael Cleveland, he's a young guy who has been winning fiddle competitions and also is a multi-year winner of the Fiddle Player of the Year from the trade organization known as the International Bluegrass Music Association. And he won a Grammy in 2018 for his album called Tall Fiddler, which he does a duet with Tommy Emmanuel, the great Australian guitarist. But he is joined by a really great band. And so if you want rapid-fire, high-energy bluegrass, Saturday night is your night for that. And then to contrast that a little bit, as a fellow coming from Rhode Island, he'll open for Michael that night, a guy by the name of Jake Blunt, who is a fellow, as I said, from Rhode Island, who plays the banjo. He won the Steve Martin Banjo Prize a couple of years ago, and really comes from a deep well of experience from being black and singing the songs from his heritage and educating the music along the way, educating the audience along the way. And then also, we're kind of going with the youth movement on Friday nights, and progressive bluegrass out of Portland, a band called Never Come Down. And then A.J. Lee and Blue Summit is coming out of California. And A.J. Lee is a young woman who's been winning vocal contests since the age of 10. She can't hardly be 20 years old right now. And so they are touring heavily right now as well. And then Saturday afternoon, we have some old favorites coming back and some new folks as well. But then the big news is on Sunday, we give it all back to folk. Remember, this used to be called the Winter Folk Festival. Mm-hmm. And some people really wanted to get back to a little bit more of those roots. Well, we're going to throw them a very big bone on Sunday by having four acts starting at 11 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, from duets to trios to individual performers. So we are very excited about the lineup. Of course, Rachel Pearson and I tend to get a lot of the limelight in this process, but we are really joined by a hardworking group of volunteers who have gotten us to this point and will get us to the finish line come January, and we thank all of them for their help.
Well, I'm interested in the Saturday night headliner. I mean, I got to meet Mark O'Connor two decades ago now.
Right.
It's been that long ago. But at the time, he was that up-and-comer, you know, that was doing it. Now, you know, I guess the torch is being passed to some of the younger folks.
Torch is being passed, and Michael Cleveland also does play the mandolin, by the way, but really known for his fiddle playing and, again, just a solid, solid bluegrass band, and you're going to want to fasten your seatbelt. Sometimes you want to take a breath because it feels like you're drinking from a fire hose. The music is so fast and so good and so tasteful.
So is it too soon now to start getting your tickets, or is it the early bird? Are we still on? Are we past the early bird part now?
No, in fact, the timing today is very helpful, George, in that our super early bird runs through July 14th. And so you have about a week and a half to get those tickets at a substantially discounted price, $20 for a two-day pass, and some of the individual tickets are discounted at least $5 for you. And on the morning of July 15th, the tickets will go up slightly in price in what we call the advanced ticketing, and that'll last for another month or so, and then you can go anytime after that all the way up until the actual festival starts at the end of January for the balance of your ticket purchasing there. So you can go to wintermusicfestival.org to see a beautifully done website by our volunteer Dolly Brock and navigate your way through the ticketing system there. And if you'd rather go to the box office again, you can do that at 715 Quint Street, or you can call the Florence Event Center to get your tickets.
Now, will some of these groups also be participating again in maybe some youth concerts and things like that, or is that not yet set in stone?
Yes, let me draw attention to the fellow who we've hired to do the kids' concerts. And by the way, this last cycle, the school districts, because of the Omicron variant, et cetera, weren't able to bring the kids to the theater. We're hopeful that in 2023 that will be different. But we have a young guy coming out of the mountains of North Carolina, Asheville, Black Mountain area, I think an area that you know well,
mm-hmm.
Fellow by the name of Josh Goforth, who is just a multi-instrumentalist, very talented, has played with a number of bands over the years, is an educator in his own right, spends a lot of time playing with David Holt, a fellow who has a PBS series, for example. But he will be doing the kids' concerts on Thursday, which are invitation only, and done so beautifully by Rachel Pearson and her group of volunteers. And then he's going to appear again on Saturday afternoon in a solo show, basically. So the festival really does start with that invitation-only kids' concerts. And then this year, because of the nature of the people who are coming and because of the floor space we have, we are going to be having a full complement of workshops. And if you are a ticket purchaser, you get into those workshops for free. We'll charge you a nominal sum if you just want to come in for the workshop only but don't have a ticket to the actual event. And so it's always great, in my opinion, as a festival goer when I'm not doing this sort of thing, to learn at the elbow, if you will, of the touring professionals. And so that'll be the case, from songwriting to workshops on individual instruments, to how to work around a single mic, perhaps, if that's your bag. You know, who knows what they're going to come up with, but certainly there's going to be a lot of really fine workshops. We'll have a few food trucks and the good food from the window there at the Florence Event Center, and it's going to be a good time. We'll have some jams both on-site and off-site again this year meaning 2023, of course. So we've really appreciated all the support in the past, and we hope that this particular lineup will trigger some great attendance again this year.
My wife and I were just in Black Mountain in Asheville a little over a year ago, and that name Goforth comes up a bit up there, so this will be fun for people who like that kind of music.
Yes, it will. Absolutely.
Kirk Malenik, thank you so much for stopping in today. Good information, and we'll see what we can do about getting them tickets sold in advance.
Appreciate it, George. Appreciate your support over the years and the radio stations as well.
Alicia DiNicola rounds out the July edition of Our Town, talking about housing and short-term rentals.